Welcome to Invasion of Privacy. I'm Kate Wolf.
And I'm CG Erickson.
And today we have two amazing guests. Returning guest, comedian John Koppel is back.
Hey, guys.
Woo!
Yeah.
New time guest. He's a writer,
hey,
director.
I got Fiji water down there.
What'd you say?
Open one in the room.
He's giving food orders as I introduce him. That's how baller he is. Ty Cooper is here.
That is boss. Woo!
You was able to hear that?
Yes, you have a microphone on right to your mouth.
Yeah, does Ty have a virtual green room hooked up? They didn't send me any Fiji water.
Oh my God. I muted it.
Yeah, we can tie up with unlimited Fiji water. You, Koppel, no virtual green room. Sorry.
No, I just asked my roommate for a cup of tap water, but
that's not me.
Boss.
That's not me. That's not my personality, I promise.
I just had to kick my kids out of the room like 1 minute before we start. I get nothing for me.
I'm over here sweating right now. Okay, all right.
Okay. Explain a little bit about what's going on in Ty's life. You just finished filming Wednesday, an indie film called Amanda. Would you like to quickly tell all the listeners, us, what it's about?
Yeah, briefly, it's about, it's really a love story. It's about, but it really focuses on this one character named Amanda. She lost her mom when she was 9 years old to cancer. So, you know, all she remember of her mom is the suffering and the agony. And so she's real close to her father, but she's been reserved all her life. She's 28 years old, graduated from NYU, the Tisch School of Arts, and she's waiting for her artwork to get curated with hopes. And then, you know, some things happen. She let a guy in, but her health, she have health conditions that I don't want to reveal here, but she have health conditions and, you know, things happen. And you really show how love can really support a person. And you show, I show trauma. I deal with all the different issues. It's really relatable, and I believe every good story is relatable. So this story touches on mental health, cancer, love, relationships, perseverance, but also trauma. So everything that we deal with, you know?
And Ty, when can we look forward to watching it?
I'm going to take 2 weeks off from editing. I'm just going to step back. I have a business where I'm swamped anyway, so I'm gonna just take like 2 or 3 weeks off. Then I'm gonna come back, revisit it. But I'm gonna try to work the film festival circuit. You know, I did that for my first film, which was called Mingle, and won some awards with that 2 years ago. And so I think I'm gonna just kind of take some time, because this was gonna be a short film, but it ended up being, you know, 50 something pages. So that's a feature. But I'm still thinking about editing it to a short film length so that it could have more chance of getting into the festivals, get seen. But then also I'll release the feature film after the short film, you know, get some traction. So I'm kind of like, you know, I'm a marketer. So my brain is automatically thinking about the end game, you know, and the end consumer opposed to a festival. You know, I don't really care about festivals, but if it get picked up, it does. If it doesn't, I put it out myself. As usual.
And how short's the short have to be, Ty? I'm not really familiar.
Yeah. Programmers from film festivals like the short. So they like those 10-minute pieces or 15-minute pieces or less, because they want to group them in a block. So when you go to a film festival, you spend $20 on a festival block, you're getting 6 or 7 films, maybe 8. So they like those short ones. Amanda is not that. Even if I break it down to a short, it's just not going to be that. It's going to be longer. Sure. Than that. Yeah. It's a big story.
So 50 pages means what? The film is about 50 minutes? Is that
typically it's a minute to a minute and a half. So you're talking about maybe like a 60 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Got you.
Yeah. But I'm a director too. So I wrote it, but I knew I was going to direct it. So within my pages, I have a lot of description, you know, which you would normally not see in a script. You know, that's something that you would give to a director. If you have the inclinations of how the story should go, but I knew I was going to direct it. So really, to be honest with you, it may be 50 pages, but if you look at it and take stuff out, it could be 45 pages, you know, but that's still long. That's still long.
So Ty, is Amanda based on some a personal story that you have encountered?
Well, cancer runs in my family. So it's dedicated to my uncles and my aunts who lost their battle to cancer, and my mom who beat cancer. She beat cancer 2 years ago. Well, a year ago, but you know, 2 years ago was when she had her surgery. So, you know, and so I'm happy that she's still here with me, you know, but my dad was just diagnosed with prostate cancer a couple months ago. So it runs heavily in the family, and I do a lot of outreach projects for cancer. So this, you know, when I first started writing this 13 years ago, it was actually a feature film called The Coffee House, and Amanda was only one character in the story. So when I revisited a couple of years ago to rewrite it, to start writing it again, I just said to myself, I said, you know what, let me pull one of the characters that's really tugging at me. And I have four characters that's like that. So, but I chose Amanda because she was the one, you know, when I developed her, she had the cancer. She had, you know, her mother had cancer. She ended up having cancer in this story here herself at 28 years old. So, so that kind of like pulled at me. So I said the first installment would be Amanda. But upcoming, I have Lloyd, Charlie, and Johnny. These are the new characters, the other characters that's also going to have their own story. And I plan on start writing that. I plan on start writing Lloyd about maybe probably in March. I'm going to start, you know, nutting that one out. And then after that would be Johnny.
Okay.
And Ty, have you like, so you've been through like a lot of people getting chemo and stuff like that, getting treatment around you? You've been through that process?
Yeah, I've been through the process of radiation more so. And, you know, it's tough. You know, when you have to watch your loved ones really kind of wither away. My uncle, you know, he just got really small. He's in a hospital. When I visited him in 2017, he was in a hospital. And, you know, you looking at the bed, you're looking at him, and he used to be this vibrant, strong person. And he was also working across the street from the Twin Towers when they fell. He was one of the people down there he was covered with the, you know, with the debris and all that stuff. He was like literally right there.
And stuff.
Yeah. So we don't know. You know how it go with cancer, man. You know, you got big companies, big entities who, it's hard to prove it. So, you know, you try to join this action lawsuit, and you just kind of sometimes never really get traction, and you know you don't know. You don't know what caused cancer. Well, we know what caused cancer. It's hard to prove it. So, you know. So yeah, so I've been around it, and it's just been a little tough, man. But I try, as an artist, you know, as a creative man, I try to do my just work and create exposure opportunities for and awareness for it. And I think in Amanda, the story itself is not about cancer; it's a love story. But each one of us have been in love, or is still in love, or whatever the case may be. And you know, so I wanted to just kind of like put it in there, but not harp on it. And tell another story, but you know, I think the tears will flow. You know what I'm saying? But it's it's comedic, so it has some comedy in it. Because that's how I write all my thing. Everything has some comedy in it. It's a sweet story, but then you get hit with something. So I gotta hit you with something, you know.
See, now I'm scared, Ty, because I'm embarrassed to cry at a movie. But I will cry. I have been known to cry. Let me tell you, my old girlfriend, she used to tape it when I started crying on the couch. I didn't know until the next day she'd show me the tape, and it was, I just felt like I'm not a man. But that doesn't mean I'm not going to watch it and I'm not going to enjoy it. That doesn't mean that.
As you should. You should cry, man. I'm going to tell you.
I need a good man cry sometimes, a good man cry.
Yeah, I get those sometimes, man. And Amanda really... I'm gonna tell you something about Amanda. 2019, I was in Vegas for my other film, and it got nominated for an award. And after Vegas, I just went over to Park City, Utah. I go there for Sundance every year anyway. So, but this was in the summer, it wasn't Sundance time. So I went out there to just kind of do a rewrite because I had a table reading of Amanda previously. So I took my computer out there and I went to Park City just to sit for like 3 days. I like it up in the mountains. So I'm out there, you know, doing a rewrite. And every time I got to this certain part, I'm not going to tell you guys what it is, but every time I got to this certain part, man, like, you know, it started kind of got a, I get choked up a little bit. And then like, it started getting, you know, burning, this burning sensation in my eyes. And I was like, damn, okay, I got to. So sometimes I had to step back from this particular scene. And this scene it's not the last scene in the movie, but it's the last scene I wrote because it was hard to get through it. You know what I'm saying? So, but you got to let yourself, in it though, man. You got to let yourself be in it. Like if you don't, you'll never hit that sensitive side, man. You will never have a long lasting relationship with a woman. You gotta go there, man.
Ty, I think you're so right. There's something so cathartic about letting it go once in a while, you know, because I'm an emotional guy. And once in a while, a movie will hit me and like, you know, and I got to let it go. Like Siege. I mean, I'm not as much of a pussy as he is, but once in a while, I'll cry. And then afterwards, it's like, oh, I'm tired in a really good way. Like I got that weight off me, you know, and it seems like the film that you're putting together, it sounds like it's going to be so cathartic.
Yeah, it's a good story, man. I'm proud of it. It took a long time and it took a toll a little bit on my relationship with my lady too. The one who you heard me put my order in. So
she sounds like a good woman.
She's a great woman, man. She's great. And but you know, hey man, sometimes you know when you're making a movie, especially a movie like this, it's pretty big. I had a major production, you know, I had union guys on this. I had union guys doing non-union work, and it was big. I mean, we had the three ton truck outside. You know, it was a big production. It was really serious, and it was the biggest of mine thus far. And but it took a toll. It takes a toll sometimes. But you know, because you, as a creative, you thinking that, and you guys are comics too. You know what I'm saying? So you thinking that when you're working, you should just be there. Like you good. You know what I'm doing over here. You good. You just wait until I finish this project. And we get, you know, and we'll go out. I could come downstairs because I work in a loft upstairs. So I go downstairs, we do dinner, and I look at TV for about 10 minutes, and I'm like, yo, okay, I got to go upstairs. You know, I got Amanda. Amanda's the mistress here, and I got to show Amanda some attention. But you know, you got to listen. And so I listened to her, you know what I'm saying? She'll tell me, hey, blah, 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 blah. You know, we get into a little tete-a-tete. I'm going to call it tete-a-tete. And we work it out, you know what I'm saying? And I'm here. So I told her, I said, look, Valentine's Day, a good friend of mine's Kate. I've been working for a long time. It's only 10 o'clock in the morning. I'm going to roll upstairs. And then I'm going to roll back downstairs after it's over. We gonna go to brunch. Like you gotta negotiate. It's negotiations.
Oh, so like you're in trouble already. We got you in trouble first thing in the morning on Valentine's Day. Damn.
Yeah, but the other day I told her, like I say, this is happening. And I gave her flowers the other day. I didn't wait till Valentine's Day to give her flowers. I gave her flowers 3 days ago.
Oh, so, that's a boss move. Yeah.
You gotta understand.
Ty is a genius.
Thank you. I tried, brother. I tried.
Dude.
I don't have any moves like that. I'm learning something today.
You gotta have foresight, man. You gotta have foresight is important, bro. Foresight in a relationship is important. You have to understand the person, and you gotta think about the future. Today is gone tomorrow, so you gotta think about the future. So I think about 3 days or 5 days later. So soon as Kate told me, she said the 14th, I was like, that's Valentine's Day. All right, so we're gonna do some stuff in the morning. Then we're gonna be happy. We're gonna be looking at TV, which we were doing, and then I'm up here. And then she tested me because she started printing some paperwork as I'm on here. I'm like, yo, you printing papers? Like, I'm trying to log on. Like, what are you doing? You know what I mean? So the fact that she did that, I'm thinking about the future. I'm like, I'm good then. I'm good. I'm not in trouble. She tried to mess up my podcast thing. So now,
now
like,
you're
yeah.
good.
Because we good. We that, here. We even.
You're good. You weren't good before that. You were still below now, a little bit.
Oh, yes. Wait.
Even, that move. That's good. That's good. The printer right there. That printer move right there she did.
Oh, she done fucked up.
I'm good. she done did.
But wait, isn't part of giving your wife the perfect day is giving her space? My wife, part of her Valentine's Day is like, you're gonna leave me the fuck alone for a couple hours. And then we'll get together. And it's like, we've been married for over like 11 years. So maybe that's just our process.
I'm not married.
Okay.
Yet. We live
okay,
together.
Okay, so
now,
she still wants to be with you the whole time then.
Oh, you got to do more. Yeah, before you're married, you got to do a lot more, I feel like.
Yeah, you do. I think so.
You're still trying to win the woman.
I think so. Now I got her. Now I got her. I'm good. Yeah, I'm talented, man. I'm good, man.
Yes.
But the way you said that, I have no doubts that you're right.
Yeah, I'm good, man. I'm cool as a fan over here, bro. I'm cool as a fan over here, man.
I've never had that confidence with a woman ever.
No.
I'm always scared. I'm scared every minute.
She gets
something might happen.
She gets up. She gets up every morning to get coffee, right? To make coffee. You know, ground. Sometimes I ground it for her. But this today, I ran upstairs. I got the handbag that I bought her yesterday. I put it where she get her coffee. So I ran back in the room. It was like 6 o'clock in the morning. She was like, "Hey, I'm gonna go and get some. Going to make some because she made me tea, you know, and she made her coffee while I do it, you know." So this time she was going up. I said, "Baby," before she got out of bed, I said, "Baby," I said, happy Valentine's Day." She said, "Oh," and then she went over there, and then I heard her. I was waiting. I sat back like this, you know how you know like a boss move. I have a sleigh bed, so I put my head on the board, and I just heard her open the door. Oh my God! So I plan, man.
You're so much better than me. I wish I was like a grown up who was good at this kind of stuff. Jesus,
you got a lady. You got the lady right here. Kate can tell you everything.
Oh no, she's not allowed because she's my girlfriend. So she doesn't tell me. She can't tell me. If she tells me, I'm in trouble. Yeah. I'm gonna guess the shit.
He says he sent me a gift for tomorrow, and I cannot wait. He said, "Don't get too excited." That's my favorite part. He said, "I'm sending you something. Don't get too excited." So it can be anything.
So see, you are smarter than you lead on because you just I know what you did, man. I used to do that all the time. You got to bring her down here, man. Bring her down here, uh-huh. Expectation, and then with the hopes that it's like one little inch above that. At least.
Yeah, because I
thought
did,
that
like,
was just me. That's my move. It's Christmas, birthday, Valentine's, everything.
What I get is like mediocre. If she expects like terrible, mediocre is going to blow her mind. That's the setup. You know what I'm saying? That's the setup.
Wow. Yo, that was a.
If I was better at getting gifts, I wouldn't have to do that.
What you did is what I call a Tom Brady move. You go to the worst. And then you still win. Tom Brady.
No. Oh my God. We have to have Ty on more often. He's so refreshing. He's teaching me how to be a grown up and how to have a real relationship. We got to do this more often, Ty. My God.
It's men. What about you instead of going for mediocre and selling it here? So I'm like, oh, yay, mediocre. Why don't you guys go for like, cream of the crop, like gifts.
Then I'd be broke.
Necessarily, but like, why not pour your heart out into something? Like,
then I can't take you out to dinner the next day because I got zero.
No, but I'm not talking about money. It's like there are so many creative ways that you can like show someone you care. And I'm not saying CG doesn't do this, by the way. I'm very happy, not with all the external situation, but with him.
That's what's important.
Well, this is what I wanted to say even from about 5 minutes ago, is that what I love about all three of you is that you're all so creative and you know the importance of expressing, whether it's through writing, comedy, whatever the art form is. You guys are more writers, comedy, you know what I mean? Ty does the directing stuff, but what I think is really important for a man or a woman is to create art, express. And I love that we all kind of know the importance of it and are fucking doing it. It's not easy to take a chance on yourself and really believe in yourself and your talents with comedy, writing, whatever, and really go for it and invest money and time into it. And I think, you know, we've all taken a lot of risks to follow those dreams and create. And I'm proud of all of us. Happy Valentine's Day to all of us.
Yeah. Oh, wow. That was inspirational.
Thank you.
That really hit a chord. No, see, I'm actually impressed with, I didn't know, Ty, that you wrote this stuff too. I didn't know that you wrote and directed, because it's two completely different disciplines. I write a lot of stuff myself, but like, I would have no idea how to put it together on film. I really wouldn't. I can see it in my head, but it's two completely different disciplines. And to me, and also like, it just, I know how long it takes to write something substantial. It takes such a long time to write some substantial. And then from there, you have to have it written and then start taking the steps to even make it. So like, I'm very impressed with that. That's because just trying to write some stuff myself, I am starting to understand how much work it is to make something substantial, a feature length movie or something. And to do all that work and then take the steps to put it all together with crews and things like that and make it happen. Yeah. That's a whole nother ball game. So, that's impressive, man.
You know, CG, my advice to you, man, is just write. Just write it. And never mind the format. Just write it. Get the stuff down. Use a format that you think is right. Just so you can put the stuff down. And then go and get a book like this, Save the Cat, which is a screenwriting book. I have a few of them over here. I just picked this up. It's an old one, but I just picked it up so I could start reading it. I did the reverse. I started writing years ago, before I even read books about writing. I just write, man. And then, you know, if you're trying to sell it, then yeah, they want to see the right format. Then you can put it in the right format. Mm-hmm. But if it's for you to create, then go ahead and just write it. Put the words to the pages, man. And then work out the logistics and all that kind of stuff, man. But get the ideas down.
No, he sells himself short constantly.
No.
Final draft.
I just did that. I just did that a month or two ago. So just fast. Because we figured out that was important.
That's important. Process. And so CG became a final draft master like overnight.
Overnight.
And then not really to John, but then started kind of tearing apart the way I write. He like overnight became a snob because he learned the right way. Right?
I did get snobby pretty quick.
You got snobby.
I did get snobby pretty quick.
If CG ever becomes successful, it's going to be terrible.
Oh, murderous. but at least we can just try to. You know, maybe I never will become successful. Like, that's what we're probably thinking right now. But no. Yeah, I did learn it and became snobby overnight. I was like, what is this garbage? You think I can send this to someone? It's like, get this out of my face. And they're like, dude, you just got final draft yesterday. I was like, I know. That's the way I roll, bro.
But hey, look, that's the right formatting. That's a format that's accepted by Hollywood. And you're on the right path. But just, but I'm all about the story, though. You know, storytelling is really most important than the formatting and all the extra stuff. So if you got good story, man, you good. You're going to be successful because if you want it, you're going to be. And you live in Jersey, in New York?
You live in PA?
Okay, all right. Well, PA is a little bit different. But if you're from Jersey, New York, you're going to be successful automatically. PA, you may be.
Nobody talks about PA. No, we know.
Actually, never mind. You're fucked. It's not gonna happen. PA, are you kidding me?
Good. But I started writing. I started writing stage plays in 1997. So I wrote a lot of stage plays. Three act. I wrote a lot of short stage plays that were actually performed. So I come from the stage play world, which is different than writing for the screen. And it's not that easy to transition. So, So when I write, my writing is, it's not the most natural dialogue. I do a lot of exposition stuff, man. And so I'm trying to break away from doing that. But that's, you know, I got to tell you.
Like someone addressing the camera or doing like a monologue or is that what you mean?
No, it's more of me like telling you everything that's happening instead of showing you. So the whole thing is to show more, say less. That's the golden rule of screenwriting. Show more, say less. And the stage is different. You got to say certain things because it's hard for you to show certain things on stage. In a movie, you have the cinematic experiences, right? On the stage, it's a little bit bigger. And so the transition from stage to screen isn't really the smoothest. But what happens is that I know my mistake, so I know that I always have to go back and do a rewrite, right? I always have to go back. It's never going to be this polished piece. Like, I got to write it, probably rewrite it like 10 or 15 times, probably even more. Mm-hmm. I was actually rewriting on set, you know? So yeah, it's just what it is, you know what I mean? But the story was told. It's a great story. It's an amazing story. People love the story. And I think we nailed out the park. I was proud of my actors, particularly my my two co-stars. It was solid, so I look forward to it.
Oh, are you were in the movie?
No. I just wrote it, produced it, and directed it.
Okay.
I hired
when
a crew.
When you said co-stars, I was thinking you were in the middle of those.
Oh, no, my what two stars, mean? Amanda gotcha, and gotcha. Yeah, Amanda and Pharrell. When I told you guys when I started writing it 13 years ago, is the two characters, Amanda and Pharrell. I wrote it for Amanda was going to be Amanda Peet, and Pharrell was Pharrell Williams. And since Pharrell and I, you know, we have some of the same circles, you know, in Virginia Beach. I went to school at Norfolk State University. I wanted him because he was in a short by a buddy of mine named Brent Hill in Cali called Ecology of Love. And this was back, I screened it in 2005. But I just put it down. I didn't write it. And then, so now he and Amanda Peet are too old for the role. So, but I picked a really good actress to play Amanda. I'm very proud of it.
That's awesome.
And it's she's like 19. Did I read that right? Or 28.
Yeah, 28. Okay. But the character, her real age is she's younger than 28. But she still had this thing about her that, you know, it was good. It was really good.
Awesome. We're
how did you select like who was gonna be in the movie? Did you do a big casting call?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, man, I'm gonna tell you something, man. When you see casting agents or casting directors, man, they get paid, they deserve it. They deserve $1 million because I did that, man, and I got like about 200 submissions and I was like overwhelmed with it, you know? So I miss a lot of good actors, I'm sure, because at some point I was like, man, I didn't even go through all 200. I was like, yo, I need to cast this. So that's difficult. But yeah, I did the Virginia Film Office, because I'm in Virginia right now. So Virginia Film Office, Facebook, there's different groups, like Virginia Filmmakers, yada, yada, these different groups. So I just put the casting call through there, the description, and people were just like, man, my inbox was inundated with like tons and tons of submissions, man. But that was a good thing because the people were interested in the story.
Yeah. So I know CG and I think, John, we're going to be investing in some good equipment. So maybe I'll get your opinion. Because I don't want to spend, I'm sure some of the cameras that you use are probably thousands of dollars. I want to find a good one a bit lower than that, but I want to start, I've been putting out a ton of content as we all have together, me, John, and CG, but we kind of want to take it to that next professional level. So if you have any advice on cameras, things like that.
I have one. It's thousands of dollars, but it's not thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. Because, you know, it's always... You can get a you can get a camera for 150 grand. You can get a camera for a couple of grand. So this one here just came out by Canon. This is the C70. It's a cinema camera. It's amazing. I didn't shoot. We shot my film with the Red. I don't own the Red, so my DP. But this one here is $5,500. But this is amazing. No.
What makes it a cinema camera, Ty?
This is a 35 millimeter. It's a C-Log 2. It shoots C-Log 2. So it shoots really flat and it has the XLR inputs in there. I mean, it just have everything. And the sensor is what the other cameras have, like the R Alexa. You probably heard of that one, maybe. It has the same type of sensor. It has the same type of sensor. It's 35 millimeter DGO. It's just amazing. Like, it's amazing. I'm pissed. I bought this to shoot, but my DP who I hired, he shoots with Red. So I'm like, damn, I want to save money so I don't have to pay for his Red. Because, you know, when you provide a service, in your service, you're going to have your rental fee for your equipment. If you're using your own equipment, you're going to have, like, you know, that's how you should have it, so that your equipment continues to get paid for by a client. So I'm his client, basically, right? I hire him. But so I let him use the Red because he was comfortable with it. But I was very happy. Because we shot in 6K, it's raw, so it's really good.
How much does a camera cost? I know I've heard of them before, but they're crazy, right?
Well, not that one. That one is a lower one. That's the one that competes with the one I have. It's on okay. the same level. So it's like 6,000 for that one. Just like this one is about 5,600 or whatever. So, but you know, but the, once you have red, it doesn't have all the features that the big reds have, okay. but you still but you got the same sensor. And so you still get the same image quality. So you might as well get the lower end, right? Because you're gonna have the same sensor. What you have to do, you may not be able to run out your house with everything and just shoot it because it doesn't have, it only has like a single audio input for that camera. This one has three inputs. So it's different, you know what I mean?
We're not going that big to start, I don't think.
Right? Well, no, Siege, Valentine's Day isn't over yet. Go get it for Kate. Look so it up, dude. $5,600.
So look, so about some other options.
No, no. If you don't want that one, then you have stuff like this. These are DSLRs. So you can go ahead and spend a couple of grand on a camera. And you know what I'm saying? Like, you what don't have to have that.
$500.
No, I can't help you.
I don't mess with $500.
I don't know what's happening with that one, but
Kate, you're embarrassing us.
Yeah. I'm sorry about Kate. She's small time.
He said I can't help you right there.
I can't.
But you're in the wrong store. You're in the wrong neighborhood, Kate.
That was the pretty woman scene where she's dressed as a hooker and goes to the ice store. And they're like, no, this isn't for you.
not this one. there's options. Oh, but guess what? You know, okay. I teach a documentary filmmaking workshop at the local college here. So this is what I have to say. This, and this is the advocate. I'm playing advocate role for Kate. I tell the students, hey, you got a camera right in your pocket. Technically, you have a camera right in your pocket. The iPhone 12 now have like three lenses or something, right? There's no excuse. Use your phone if it came down to it. It is different than here. And there have been major releases like Tangerine was a movie that was shot on the iPhone 5. And it was in Sundance, won an award, and then it got released in a major theater. So technically, you don't need this shit. Excuse my language. You don't need this stuff.
Yeah.
But I'm saying, like, I don't shoot with iPhone. That's not my style.
Kate lets us, by the way, Kate lets us curse on the podcast, Ty. It's all good. Usually a lot more filthy than this. You classed it up for us.
Look,
a professional equipment and language.
Yeah, Ty booked me for my first theater show. He knows about the language I use.
Yeah.
He knows how you roll. Okay,
and
good.
And I booked her again and again. So Kate is my girl. I like Kate a lot. You know, I like Kate. I don't know why we haven't worked together since then, but
maybe once COVID healed everything. Yeah, because I love Ty always accepted because I get on stage right there and start doing some crazy jokes, but you know, because he's promoting it, he's filling it and believing in me and my humor, which you know, not everyone accepts my humor. Like when I do like a redneck show in Scranton, not always well and always well received, you know. So like it's really fun to get to work with Ty because he doesn't mind my the filthy genius, I'll add.
I have three brands. I have three brands of my comedy shows. I have the United Nation of Comedy Tour, which I created. I have the Comedy with a Touch of Jazz and the Squeaky Clean Comedy Tour. So I try to do things for everybody. So Kate would never land on never. The Squeaky Clean Comedy Show? No, that's not her. She never heard it. This is her first time even hearing about that. She never even knew about that tour. Comedy with a Taste of Jazz is less blue because I got the jazz band that come out and then the comedian come out, then the jazz and the comedian closes it.
That's nice.
She won't land on that neither, really.
That sounds very adult.
But the United Nation of Comedy with her, Emma Willman, and many others, Xing Wang, I mean, all many others, they land on that one because I don't care. You say something, you do your thing. I'm not going to, it's no censorship. I don't believe in censorship. That's why I have three brands. I just don't believe in censorship. So I'll put the comedian, Squeaky Clean Comedy Tour. Now, if you disrespect my supporters, if I put you on the Squeaky Clean Comedy Tour and you start talking about your anus, I'm like, yo, you're totally disrespectful. Like, I'm never working with you again. And you know what I mean? Because that's my brand. I put you on the United Nation of Comedy where everything goes.
Yeah.
I had Aaron Berg. Aaron Berg was on United Nation Comedy. Aaron Berg.
Yeah, that's my man.
He made a lady cry. I had to give her money back.
How did he make her cry?
Oh, my God. Aaron, he just wouldn't stop. He just would not stop on this lady. Oh, my God. She
deserve it?
No. No. She was innocent. Collateral
that's
damage.
Shocking.
Collateral damage. It was her. It was him. Jordan. It was Jordan Rock. Aaron Berg. I don't know if Emma or Brendan or Bridget McManus, but Skiba. Oh my God, it was crazy.
That's hilarious.
I felt so bad for her, man.
So yeah, you did give her a refund. You didn't give her any shit. Refund, you gave her a refund.
Nah, because she was a loyal customer. She hasn't been back since. But you know, I lost her. I lost her, and she had like about 8 friends with her too. So it's cool. Hey. It is what it is. It is what it is. I wonder
if she's been to a comedy show since. Like she's probably just freaked her out.
Could you do a squeaky comedy tour yourself?
You know, a lot of the time people tell me that I'm clean, even though I'm definitely not clean because I think my vibe is clean.
you have a clean vibe. You do.
Yeah. I had that my whole life. Siege and I were best friends in high school and we were up to terrible shit constantly. And everybody was like, Siege is an animal. John is a good kid. I don't know what he's doing with that guy. So yeah, I think that if I was on the Squeaky Clean comedy tour, I'd walk out and everyone would be like, okay, here's another Squeaky Clean comedy. And then they'd just be horrified extra because I really deceived them. Yeah.
You could be the face of the thing, man, if you came up with some clean jokes. Because you are squeaky clean. Your life is squeaky clean. You're a stand-up citizen.
Oh, thanks, pal.
A dad, the pictures of you sledding with your kids every time there's snow. I'm just always like, oh my God, what a good person. But I know behind the scenes what a bad person you are.
Terrible. Horrible. But also when you try to land a clean joke and it doesn't land the way you like, I feel like that dork from the picture sledding with my kids, like, oh, dad's out there, we're letting it go again. Like it's a bad feeling. You can't just like end it by being like, I don't know, pussy fart.
Your pictures warm my heart. Your pictures in the snow with your children, and I feel like it's every time there's an inch of snow there's more of them. Like, you are such a good dad. It warms my heart, makes me feel like the terrible person that I am, but I love them. I love them every time I'm on Facebook. I love them. And then Kate says to me, you know, how come you love John's and you only liked mine? And I'm like, oh, shit. I don't know the rules for Facebook either. I get in trouble for that stuff.
The new level of insecurity.
Couple, why is he hitting ha-has and hearts on your freaking statuses and I just get a regular like? I'm like, I'm the one whose pussy you want to get into. Like,
what? Yeah, I mean,
Like,
are
you trying to
get
the con's asshole or my
no.
Kate?
No, but it's like when you're already in, like, you don't need to concentrate. So
that's a man's mentality right there. By the way, Kate, I can empathize because I had the same thing yesterday. I posted something and then my wife repeated it to me and started laughing. And I'm like, oh, it's funny in our kitchen, but you can't react to it on... Like, come on, hit it up if you like it so much. How come I still have nothing from you?
I hear you say it to me. I want to read the comment. Yeah,
the world needs to know that you thought it was funny, not me. I know that you think it's funny.
Exactly.
I don't know the social. I don't know the social media rules at all. Like, I'm so blind
You're dating a comedian. She needs. She needs it to be projected. She's an insecure person.
Yes, I guess so. Yeah.
Oh yeah. God.
Next time.
Hey, I have a question for you guys. So with comedy, what you guys been doing with through COVID? You know, as far as shows and just kind of putting your content out there for monetary return.
Well, I'll answer first. I kind of almost also, I'm going to kind of also answer for John, but then John can take it back. John had an incredible, I believe it was monthly show that was going that I'm sure he'll pick back up once things open. I have kind of just chilled with it. I've been having fun putting out a ton of TikTok videos, whether it's sketches like me, CG Koppel, or just me cutting up some old stand-up that I've been going through. I've been trying to still create. I'm not like, I miss the stage, but I'm not like missing the stage. Like some comics are like, I don't know what to do. I'm like, I'm good another 4 months. I'll get up. You know what I mean? Like, I'll get back on. I know how to do it. I have all new material and shit to talk about. Like, I'm going to have fun. And I'm in the Philly suburbs now with CG and John, and hopefully getting to do a lot of comedy with them. It's going to also infuse so much fun. Like sometimes when you do comedy over and over, especially in Manhattan, you get tired, and I feel like I'll have new energy to like even just make the haul to get to the place if I have like my best, like even just a fun car ride with good music. It'll be like, okay, I'll be more motivated to get it all going again. So just creating a lot of TikTok, Instagram, that kind of stuff, writing. But I know I'll see what Koppel says about it too, about your show or whatever.
Yeah, no, I've done some virtual shows. They're very strange. And you know, you can make a few bucks from it, but I don't know. It's certainly not the same rush as being on stage and actually getting feedback from a live audience. But I totally agree with Kate about this basically being it rips away any excuse to go for it in other ways, you know, whether it's writing sketches. I've been writing a lot of things, many of which will probably never see the light of day, but it's still fun to just work on stuff. Well, you know, because some of the things you write just end up being shit, but it's still good. You know, it's like,
or just way too offensive. Abilities. Way too offensive. Your friends won't even be in the sketch. I'm like, I took fucking 6 months to write this. You won't be in the sketch. Like, it was written for you. That happens to me half the time.
But yeah, and also I got my podcast off the ground, which is something that's a lot of work goes into.
We got copied. Because I did an episode on Peaks. It's called Peaks. I did an episode on Britney Spears pouring out my heart and what I've a lifetime of journalism, unpaid journalism. I spoke it beautifully on John's podcast. Next thing you know, framing Britney, whatever. It's fine. We all have, would you say, CG? We all have similar concepts. Maybe they weren't copying me directly. Sure. But Koppel, we should sue. Anyway, I had to say that.
That's right.
Keep going. Fire podcast.
Peace. Kate is a beast of a podcast guest, as well as a host, obviously.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So, I mean, the stand-up component, I can let that slide for a little while longer, like Kate, and, you know, get back to doing shows when things open back up. But meanwhile, just writing and using my iPhone to film me sometimes is good enough for me right now.
No doubt.
Yeah, and we decided, like, I don't know, we probably decided a year ago we wanted to start making some videos. And then COVID ended up being so long that, like, we can't really get together to do them. We're like, all right, we're just going to try to just put out some stuff, just, you know, cut up. I'll film my parts, you film your parts, and then cut them together. And, like, you know, so they come out kind of budget. But, like,
fun.
We started. No, that's the thing. Like they're. I do think they're funny. I do think they're funny as hell. Some of it. So, like, you know, we were putting out some stuff, and then now it looks like the stuff's gonna get lifted, you know, soon enough. Trying to get, now that we've seen like what it comes out like, trying to step up our game, get the right equipment and right cameras and stuff like that, the right settings, and then all get together and do it together. So it just looks crisp. You know what I mean? Like, so, cause that's what we're missing. I think we have the comedy part done, but we just got to get it crisp. We got to tighten up. You know what I'm saying? So we're in the process of doing that now with the videos we shoot together. You know?
You know what? Let me say this. All jokes aside, when it comes down to the camera equipment, look into Sony. I'm a Canon guy. But Sony has amazing cameras where mirrorless cameras, they really perfected the mirrorless camera game. Get one of those. And those range from like $1,200 to like $3,500. So they range, and they have great like low light conditions. They amazing in that. Canon got them beat with autofocus, but Sony's autofocus now that just came out recently is amazing. So I would say go with Sony because they perfected the mirrorless camera. Canon did too now, mirrorless, because they have a few mirrorless cameras now. But I would say get one of those. But Sony, you can't go wrong. Canon, you can't really go wrong either because the color science with Canon looks really good. So one of those. And you could spend between, like I said, $1,200 to like $3,500 and have a really good one.
Ty, yeah. Is there an easy way to do the lighting? You know, like, is there an easy thing, a few yep. things you can get for the lighting? Like, yeah. what's the way to do that? I mean, if yeah. you can explain it without showing me, if you can explain it in words.
I got it. Yeah, I got it. Okay. I'm gonna tell you one word, but I don't know if you guys are faith-based or not. Anyone faith-based?
God? You mean like spirit?
Like God? Yeah, like God or something?
Oh, please.
I definitely okay. believe in something big.
A big one. Yeah. Well, the sun, that's your light. That's your light. That's the first thing. Like before I tell you anything, you don't have to buy it. You have to know how to block it. I have stuff in there. I'm looking around, but I don't have it up here. You got the sun. Sometimes you need a diffuser, which is like that kind of like, matter of fact, I'm going to go cheap on you. A shower lining. That's a diffuser.
When you go super cheap, bro. I love it.
Yeah, you like that? Yeah, all right, then that's it. The sun that already exists, something, if it's too hot, if it's too bright, then you put between your subject that you're filming and the sun, you put a sheet material, which is a shower, like a clear shower curtain, it blocks the sun, it diffuses it. Mm. Shoot on a cloudy day. Look at the weather. Cloudy day, we shooting outside today, y'all. Cloudy. Because the clouds is that, you know what I say, put something between you, the subject, and the sun. Well, the clouds are doing that for you. It's a diffuser. Now, if you want to go technical and get lighting, you can get cheap lights. I would always go to Aperture. I love Aperture lights. And they have tons.
Wait, Ty, what if you got to do it? What do you got to do in a basement with no windows? What do you, you know, that's your room down there. What kind of stuff do you buy? What kind of stuff do you buy?
Is that whatever your light is, whatever light you get, you want to get a diffuser. You want to get like a softbox, right? So you probably seen this, right?
Got the light. I have because I've been looking into it. So yeah, that is okay.
You want to get a good softbox. I get Aperture. All my lights are Aperture. They make a high quality lights, but the CRI is really high, which means that it's really naturally bright and doesn't cast these little like weird colors. So I get Aperture. I can give you a list of the lighting that I have. I have expensive ones all the way down to cheap ones because really, even practical lights, like just regular lights, like the light that you have in your house, the lamps or whatever, you just need light. It's just light. Like you can't see it. You can't see it. The camera can't see in the dark. So all you need is light. It doesn't matter. Okay. It doesn't really matter the light, but you got to understand light temperatures though. You know, you got 3200, which is like the tungsten lights that you have in your apartment or your house. But then you have lights like daytime lights, which is 5600 Kelvin, which is a brighter light. So you just got to know the color temperature so you can set your cameras right so that the image doesn't look crazy. So you got to what's called a white balance.
You two nerd alerts can talk later. Yes. I'm sure the listeners are loving this right now.
How dare you insult our guests?
Yeah, you two could probably go on for another 2 hours about the different kinds of light. And that's beautiful. I love that. But like, I don't, you know, I also have to think our listeners are like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I know, right? I was going to laugh.
Fuck all your nerd alerts.
It was my fault.
Yeah,
I was prying.
CG's like, could you tell me? It's like, CG, you'll do your Amazon order later. Okay.
Okay. Hey, CG, just hit me up later, man. Hit me up later, bro. Kate, give him my email address and my number. Hit me up later. I'll send you a list of stuff that I have that works and some stuff that I don't have. And because it's all about budgeting, too. Don't get some shit that you're not. Don't get some expensive shit.
I'm gonna still get the cheap one.
Sure.
That breaks in a month. So you guys can do it. Okay. So
Siege is starting his own podcast about production equipment. And I think that this is gonna be great.
It's gonna be dope.
I sent this also, I sent this article, I should have sent it to, I don't think I sent it to you, Ty, I didn't want to keep bothering you, but I sent it to my son, and he's like, this is 2 weeks old news, but I wanted to say it.
What a bastard.
There was,
your son is prickish? Your son is like a prick, a little prick?
14 and too cool.
Oh, yeah. They're kind of prickish.
Cool. I wouldn't say
Are they prickish? 14-year-old boy?
I've already 14.
Yeah, in today's time, he's a prick. But look. Kate, half of Kate's set was always about her son. She loved her son, though. She loved her son.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, for sure.
He's best in the world, and he's allowed to go through his teenager.
Yeah, it's what she loves, that little prick.
So, okay. I'm calling him that, or I'll beat all of you up. I don't care about COVID. I'll go to all of your houses and beat you all up. Now, there was a guy, I think it was Lil Uzi, had a 24 million diamond implanted into his head, and the picture I saw, it almost looked like a vagina wound because you couldn't really see the diamond.
What's a vagina wound? I thought you were just gonna stop like the shape. Vagina
shape of the marquise. It's the shape of a marquise. I love vagina, so I look at it a lot.
Oh man, he made it. He's got a diamond vagina in his forehead. That's
no.
Killing.
It said he spent $24 million on it, and like to me, it just looked like something that you get the doctor to snip off. Like you'd have to, like you'd go to the doctor and be like, "Yo, dude, can you get rid of this? Like, is there any way we can get rid of this?" And the doctor's like, "It's gonna cost you," but like you get that removed, you don't get it put in.
I know.
I don't think that can be healthy, but who knows? What were you going to say, John?
Well, I was just going to say, I hate when I have like, you know, something on my face, whether you get a zit or you cut yourself shaving and you get the feeling that somebody's kind of looking at that when they're talking to you. You've got a giant diamond vagina on your forehead. No one's ever going to look you in the eyes when they're talking. That's sure. He signed up for a lifetime of that.
I had no idea he had that much money.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
It's hard for us to tell our kids, hey, you know what? If you're trying to be a rapper, that's cool, but you need an A plan. You need another A plan because being a rapper, you don't know. It's hard for us to tell them that now. Like, Kate, if your son tell you, hey, I want to be a rapper, what are you going to do? All you're going to say is like, damn, Uzi just spent $24 million. He said he's not hurting after that. He have a lot more money, he said.
Well, let me tell you something. I would support fully my son becoming a rapper. And he has tested it out on me. We did it at one of our virtual comedy shows. Shane rap battled. We said Shane will rap battle anyone. And one of our friends from high school, Adam, volunteered to go against Shane. But he came back literally as Kermit. He had a Kermit puppet. John, you were there. So you didn't say anything, but it was, it felt like you were tripping because you had Shane, my 14-year-old, really good rap battling a really badass, good Kermit rap battling. And I was like, I hope my life just keeps hitting these.
Just keep going.
Like it was, yeah. So I would support Shane. I don't support a diamond in the head. That right. seems very unhealthy. I already get headaches I'm trying to heal. If I put a diamond in my head, I don't think I'd ever get rid of my headaches.
By the way, he said
millions like a yacht. Like, yeah, that's how much a yacht costs.
It's between 10 and 11 carats, and he said that it's his most most expensive asset. He said his Bugatti can't pay for it. All my cars together plus home, it took him that long to get all the money, and apparently somebody came at him, you know, making fun of him for having a diamond in his head. And he said, if I lose my ring, yeah, you'll make fun of me more than put it in my forehead. Ha ha, joke's on you. Ha 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 ha. And yes, I do have insurance. So to him, he's smart because he's not going to lose it. It's in his head.
Hey, but he has insurance for it though. So if he does lose it, he get paid. So it's all good.
Or I feel like a bad guy, like a real bad guy, if it's that expensive, you could get a crew of bad guys to hold him down and cut that shit out of his head.
Stop.
If I was a bad guy, I'll be plotting right now with my bad guy friends to go in there with Uzis and shit or whatever. Yep. And dude, all we got to do is a little scalpel.
And if it doesn't come off,
$11 million.
And if it doesn't, if it doesn't come off, $24 million. And if it doesn't come off, you chop his head off. It goes left. It goes south.
If I'm a real bad guy, that's what I'm doing.
You're chopping the head off. It goes south real fast.
But how many 11-carat pink diamonds are there in the world? Isn't there anywhere you'd take it? It's like, wait a second, you're the dude that cut this out of Lil Uzi's forehead, aren't you?
And I'm like, come on,
No, this is fine.
Nobody knows about that in Zaire. Come on. You know, like wherever I go to take it. But no, wait, all right, it was 24 mil. The way we read it, was it was 24 mil for the operation. So I don't know what the actual thing costs. I don't know how much of that was the cost of the thing.
I think most of it is parts. The labor was a small part.
I guess so.
Yeah, his head is not a car. I think the labor was a small part in this one.
By the way, did he have an actual doctor do it? Like, did they bring in a licensed physician to be like, I'm overseeing us implementing this diamond into my man's forehead?
Yeah, he probably got the best doctor there was. If he has that much money to drop on that bullshit, he probably got a legit-ass doctor. The doctor like, who is this, Little Uzi? I'll be right over.
Yeah, right over. Oh, my God.
You think they were listening to Lil Uzi while they were doing it? Like, I picture an auto body shop. They just have the music going and just like having a good time.
No, I'm embarrassed. I don't know any Lil Uzi songs, but I'm going to listen after the podcast.
Should we do it?
Because he must be killing it.
Yeah. Well, play it so we can all hear it, Koppel.
No.
He's
on a song with them.
I actually think that's pretty dope. I don't know any new rap. I used to listen to rap when it was Biggie and Tupac and all them, and maybe like Drake and Lil Wayne after that. Like
you and I used to listen to a lot of Outkast together.
I love Outkast.
Yeah. When I was younger, I listened to more rap, and then but it's different now, so I don't listen to it that much. But that has some value. There's a style to it I can get down with.
I'm glad he's got a Maserati. So maybe he's good.
I don't think Lil Uzi's gonna fuck with us after this podcast, but I would hang out with Lil Uzi because that song was tight.
Out of place at a Lil Uzi concert. I feel like.
Excuse you? No.
But wasn't that the Migos song with Lil Uzi on it?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's different. That's not his. I can't give him credit for that one.
Oh, all right. See? All right. See, I gotta look into this deeper.
Deeper.
I'm gonna figure this out.
Yeah, before you jump out the window for him.
I'm gonna look for another Lil Uzi song, but as I do this, I wanted to bring up the topic of sexting gone wrong, because there was an incident with me and CG. I won't get too into it, but we were exchanging pictures and videos, right? And it was like both were really hot, we were both bringing it, and then like I took it one step too far with Toby's.
Are you gonna say what you did?
Oh, not exact. I'm gonna
I kind of want to say it, but if not, okay, I ain't trying to get in trouble here.
Let me try to describe it first, and then if I don't do it justice, you can do it. He sent me a picture that was hot, and I took the picture, and I also know some Photoshop, so I took the picture, took out the thing, and put it on top of a picture of me.
Wait.
Trying to look hot, like we were together and something was happening, and he was disgusted. I said it back, like, and he was like, when he said like, cautious emojis, it makes me so embarrassed. Like, yeah, I thought he was so upset.
Well, I'm really confused. Did you send a picture of CJ's back to him?
CG just said
basically. Listen, you don't do I'm that. Not a guy. I'm not a guy who sends pics. I think it's perverse, and I think it's gross.
It's your lady, though.
I think. And she's kind of a perv. She's somewhat a perv, you know, as far as ladies I've dated before, and she wants to do some stuff. So finally, after months and months, I finally sent a dick pic. And I was like, I can't believe this. Like, is she gonna blackmail me with this dick pic right. with the law or something? I get scared about shit like that. I finally sent her a dick pic. She sends it back to me, and I'm like, ew, like, I don't even want to look at it. I'm like, ew, dude, dick pics are disgusting. Even my own, I am fucking disgusted right now. And then it was my dick pic like this over her, and then her mouth open with her tongue out, like it was about to go. And it just made me want to vomit, basically. But I mean, other people might have thought it was cool. I mean, I'm a little vanilla. So, you know, I was...
Honestly, Kate, send it to me. I'll give you my feedback. I'll let you know what I think. I'm a neutral third party. I love both of you.
I was like, I thought it was hot. It's like one of those things you see in like porn. You know what I mean? Like, right. like so, but he
see. Well, the face you made was like a caricature of a woman in porn. It wasn't like, it was like a cartoon of a woman in porn. You know, a Muppet character of a woman in porn. That was kind of what the face was. That's why I thought it was so hilarious. It was kind of like Big Bird's about to get jizzed out type of picture. Like, that's what the picture looked like to me. It was comical.
So you're telling me it was like her first week in porn when she's really trying hard, not like 3 years in and she's cynical and tired of the whole thing.
Yeah, it was like it's never happened to her before kind of face. She's never done this before. She's too happy about it. It was like a really happy, smiling, come out picture. And I was like, she would not be that happy about this. She is smiling way too big in this picture. But no, I mean, you meant well. You meant well. The ones before that were killer.
Thank you. Then,
you know, you just went ape shit on the whole idea. You were like, we doing this right now? Yeah. Ape shit on it. You were like, I'm about to go ape shit on his ass. Yeah, so that was I really like your enthusiasm with the whole thing. I just might not be the guy for it. That's
like, you caught him off guard. You caught him off guard. That's what it was. Yeah. He's like, you just took it that next. Yeah, he just kept on going.
Yeah. And you went to just take it to the next level and just, I don't have that next level yet. So it was scary.
That's because she pushes boundaries. This is why she's an artist.
Yeah, she is.
If you're going to date an artist.
Well,
I kind of wish now that you had the photo so you could send him the face, because your smiling, your childlike smiling face childlike is so smiling. Scary about the picture.
Do you have that, Kate, actually?
I was thinking I was going to get caught with this picture and someone was going to think it was a 13-year-old girl with the way you were smiling in your face. I was worried.
I had to send it back. Have the picture, and I was my boobs were in it as well. Also, I thought made it hot, but I guess all he could focus on was the funny face, what he thought was funny. But like,
What was awesome though is that I think you photoshopped it to make my dick look a lot bigger. That part was awesome because I was like, damn, I'm kind of looking masculine in this joint. You know, that I like, because, you know, in real life, you never know. I don't know what dudes' boners look like, so I'm not going to say mine's bigger than other dudes, because I haven't been in a room with the dudes full of, I'm messing this up, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
A room full of dudes with boners. I've never been in one. I've been in a shower room with dudes with soft penises, but I've never been in a room full of dudes with boners. So, like, I don't really know. I could tell you it's big. Big compared to my hand, I think, right? But then when you know, but I'm self-conscious about it. I don't really know for sure, okay? And I'm never going to know for sure. You know, all you know.
Don't say that, Siege. Don't say that. You never know. And we can sort something out. I know a lot of people.
All you know is what a girl tells you, is what girls you've been with tell you.
Yeah.
They could be saying it's small because they want to hurt your feelings. They could be saying it's big because they want to pick your head. I don't know at all. I have no idea. Right. So I'm self-conscious about it. So when you sent that picture, I was like, yeah, boy. you know, I was kind of, it kind of got me, feeling myself a little bit, that one. So, but I mean, I don't know, like, it could happen again. Maybe it's just because, you know, I never really sent pictures like this before. It's the internet age now. I used to just, we used to do it all in person. But, so, you know, maybe I'll get better at it. Maybe I'll be less scared next time.
Yeah. Siege needs more feedback on his cock. Like, isn't that why you guys are starting an OnlyFans account? Anyhow, because...
Yeah, but the OnlyFans account wasn't going to have peen in it.
Okay. Well, I thought you wanted it to be successful.
Hey, you know what's funny? You know what's funny? I forgot how long ago it was when Kate and I met at that show, the first show. But Kate used to wear like these like loose dungarees or whatever, like the little like loose jeans. She still wear loose jeans.
I have told her about those before, but she still got hot. Them around.
She got them around. She got hot though.
They're like, still around.
Yo, Kate got hot. Yo, you got a hot girlfriend, man, because she's wearing them dungarees. And I used to be like, yo, this. I say, yo, how old is she? I just look at her, right? I feel like, yeah, she's like a little Chinese boy. I'm looking, yo, what's happening? But I said, but she's funny. I like her style, so she's cool with me. But then she got hot.
Like, nobody knows she was hot. She was hot back then, too.
Yeah, I didn't know.
Because she wore the fucking dungarees.
Right, loose dungarees.
Yo, all through school too, nobody knew she was hot. She had a smoking body, but you'd only like you get a peek at her at a swim club or something. You're like, who the fuck is that? Yeah, because you didn't know.
Didn't know. Had no clue.
Good call, Ty. I'm glad you threw that in there, bro.
To me, she was a comic. To me, she was a comic. She was cool. She introduced me to Emma Willman and someone else. Oh, I ain't gonna mention what happened, how we met, but someone bailed out on a show, which. I never booked that person again ever. But she introduced me to Emma Willman. And I was like, yo, Kate's an asset. It doesn't matter if she don't have an ass or not. She's an asset. So I would love her. So I love Kate. Kate can't do wrong by me. She can't do wrong.
Yeah, you were like, this androgynous girl is kind of funny.
I love her. Look, you have to send Ty the Illmatic 2 video. So he can see that your body's hot. He might know already, but I think you should send him that so he knows and he can see some of your dance moves. It's kind of ridiculous, Ty. You know, it's us three dancing and me and Cop, we can't dance. So it's retarded. But Kate actually can dance pretty good and then she's looking pretty hot in the video. So you got to send that to Ty so he can see the other view of you besides your like, alternative lifestyle outfit that you would be wearing a lot of the time.
Okay, hold on. About a month ago, CG finally said to me, he goes, you're so hot. Why do you dress like Blossom?
Ty remembers Blossom. Good. Yeah.
The TV show.
I was like, what? I dress like Blossom? He's like, you don't know you dress like Blossom? I was like, I thought I dressed like funky and cool. And he's like, no. Hot girl, like you're hot. Show off your body. So about a month ago, I changed my whole stuff because Siege was like, you're dressing like a fool, kind of, or like a
like a fool.
And what's funny is she's definitely gonna leave me soon because now people know she's hot. Like at least it's Corona, so I have like a little bit of time before she gets out there and people find out she's hot. But like I don't have much. I don't have much time left.
Now you gotta write. You gotta write a dope screenplay. That's how I'm keeping mine. That's how my lady's still here. I wrote that screenplay. She was like, "Oh, you got potential. Okay, cool."
Yeah. Yo, I'm trying, Ty, but you got talent, bro. I mean, it's easier for you. We'll see. I got tricks, but mine are a little slimier. You know what I'm saying? Mine ain't that classy. Yeah.
All right. That's
mine. Just like you know, this girl texted me on Facebook. I'm like, yeah, I don't know. She texted me on Facebook. And then it'll be a picture of this smoking hot chick with bikini. But on Facebook, like, she has no friends. It's not really a person. I show her that.
The account's been active for 3 days.
Shut up right now.
Yeah.
I'm so ride or die for this dude. Like, so him and Popple were both like my middle school besties. You know what I mean? Like, we had some other besties in the group, but we were always close, whatever. But like, I don't know. I'm not going anywhere. I believe CG's my twin.
Kate doesn't even like jokes about it. Kate don't even like jokes about it.
No, see? That's my man.
Yeah, she don't like, yeah.
She don't like no jokes about it.
Yeah. My girl probably.
It's Valentine's Day. I love my dude and I ain't ashamed of it. Okay. Have his back.
My girl probably hearing me right now saying, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, I love you. What a fucking screenplay. fuck your screenplay.
Yeah, yeah.
It wasn't all that good anyway.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to wrap this up. First of all, Ty, where can people find you, your work, anything?
On Instagram is Ty Creative Visuals. That's with the S on the end, Ty Creative Visuals. But always go to LifeView Marketing and Visuals.com and you can find, you know, all the stuff, like the new movies or whatever else we're doing. I own a marketing company, so what it is, a marketing branding. So we offer services for marketing branding for, you know, for your company, organization, political candidates, yada, yada. Yeah. A lot more stuff. Yeah, thank you.
Oh, yeah, thanks for coming on, man.
Oh.
Yeah, dude, yo, it's awesome having you on, Ty. Thanks so much, man.
Yeah, Ty, thank you. The man.
Yeah.
Kate, you're cool too. Siege, whatever. You can find me on Instagram, Peaks_podcast. Listen to Peaks. It's a very fun podcast. It's basically a closer look at the most exciting peak years in the lives of people that dominated pop culture. I had Kate and Siege on talking about Jean-Claude Van Damme. And in season one, I had Kate on talking about Britney Spears. She's a Britney expert, and I had no idea how much fun it would be to talk about Britney for an hour. It's an interesting subject, and we got there before that trash documentary.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, of course. And, you know, keep being good to each other.
Hey, before we go, I have to bring y'all down, man. If this thing opens up this year, I would like to invite y'all down in November to the Paramount, the same venue, Kate. So let's work out the numbers and see what we can do. But I already have it booked. It's already booked, but we just got to see what really ultimately happens with COVID as far as the capacity. Because I need a larger capacity. I can't have them. We got some small capacity right now for the rules. I can't work with that, but. We'll see. Just stay in contact.
Thank you, Ty. You're the man.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. I appreciate you guys.
And CG, where can they find you on your social media?
CG Erickson on TikTok and Instagram.
And check my TikTok.
Should I have a better pitch than that? Was that a shitty pitch?
That was great, man. That was great.
Okay, great. Thanks, Kate.
Yeah, no. And for me, my TikTok is Kate Fanshawn Wolf, because that's where I feel like I can be my freest self right now, because my titties, not like my nipple titties, but like my titties coming out, like the cleavage, my dance moves. Get ready for these fucking moves, okay? I'm going to be dancing, making funny sketches by myself with my friends, putting up more stand-up clips, so TikTok.
Wow, Stitch's pitch was trash compared to that.
And use a lighter and burn your jeans. Burn those loose underwear. Right. Burn the shit on camera like, you know what I'm saying? Then drop it. Then drop it when it's hot, when it's on fire. Then drop it. And look at them burn. And look at them burn. Be like, yo, damn, that's a pass. The pass.
She put them on just the other day, Ty. I'm so glad we're making that video ASAP.
ASAP. Burn it and drop it. Don't get burned. Don't burn your hand. Set the fire. Hold it. Hold it, though. Because if you drop it, then it may put the fire out. You got to hold it so that joke can be fitting in golf and smoke and cover your face, and then you drop it.
I'm taking this out on Cobble. Cobble told me I dressed so horribly. Cobble, why did you accept me as my artistic art teacher self? Why didn't you ever say, Kate, you need to hot it up in your outfit?
Kate, you are so talented and charismatic. It's already intimidating to be next to you. And I was like, well, at least he's wearing those dungarees. I mean, now I got a chance of somebody recognizing something special in me. So it was calculated.
Hey, John, Don, and Cobble, you know, that's why I use the word dungarees. See, dungarees make it that much worse. Like,
oh yeah.
I can't say jeans. Nothing wrong with jeans. Jeans are fine. Loose dungarees is a whole nother bad. It's a whole nother bad.
Kate is a headliner. I would be hosting those shows. I'd be like, this next comedian, she's very accomplished, very funny, and she has got great dungarees. You got to check out. She's so comfortable right now, guys.
Yeah, Ty, you're right. Dungarees is the way you got to say it. That's fucking hilarious.
Don't say
jeans. I can't even stand it.
Dungarees.
Oh my god.
That old way of dressing. This is embarrassing.
I loved it. I loved that Ty remembers that. That is so great because he's not even in our circle. Everyone in our circle knows that. And then Ty brought it up. I love that. I love it.
I absolutely do remember.
Yeah, Ty's an entertainer. He's like, why is she wearing those dungarees?
He's like, that is not entertainment.
You know what I thought? I'm going to tell you what I thought. I already knew her, right, before. But when she bought Emma Willman, right, I said, I need a gay comic, blah, blah, blah. She was like, yo, Emma is hilarious. I said, yo, man, I don't know, man, because my other comedian, I don't trust anybody now, right? And I was like, yeah, bring her. And when I saw her and how funny she was, and I was like, yo, she's a lesbian comedian. I was like, this makes sense. I said, but Kate has a child, though. I said, well, maybe things happen. Like the seasons and shit like that. So I'm like, all right, I don't judge. I love everybody, right? So
sure.
I said, all right. I said, well, maybe she's gay, you know, with the loose dungarees. So I was like, it doesn't matter to me. Like, it's not my girlfriend. So it worked.
Most definitely.
It's fluid. Sexuality's fluid. You're free, just like your legs in those dungarees.
Yeah. Every time, every time she came on stage, it made some noise. It made sounds like with her legs, like she walking, and I'm like, yo, what the fuck? What's that noise? I'm like, yo, I'm looking at the sound guy. The sound guy. I'm like, yo, what the fuck is going on with the sound, man?
Sound guy.
I'm looking at the sound guy. And he said, it's her jeans. I'm like, oh, I said, her dungarees, you mean? Let me stop. You know, I keep going and going, man. I'm a writer, man.
Oh,
so
my God.
I got to stop.
You paint pictures with your words. You really do.
Hey, I love you, Kate.
Ty, I wish you lived around us. I wish you lived around us so you could be a constant in this circle. I wish that right now, dude. Because you're perfect for us, man.
Jesus. Well, you'll see me on Instagram wearing hot fucking outfits from now on.
Oh!
Okay.
Here you go.
Titties, showing this ass, showing the world what I'm working with, mind, body, spirit connection, got my faith, showing through all universes, okay? So, Holy shit. Thank you. Not that there's anything wrong with dungarees, but that's what we need. Like I said, light that thing on fire, spiritually, not real fire. I probably would set something on fire.
On fire.
Spiritual fire is not going to cut it, Kate.
Yeah, I know. Go outside, get a tin garbage pail, and just burn this shit up. Like, don't try to cut corners and be all spiritual and shit. Set on fire with some gas, like some kerosene or something, and then just let it go.
Maybe
do it outside.
Like an actual barbecue, like maybe like an actual charcoal like a barbecue. You light that up.
Like a bonfire.
Bonfire and a barbecue.
But yeah, the spiritual fire is not going to work in this instance.
Nah, it's not going to work. It's not going to work.
All right. Well, thank you all for the wake-up call and for coming on the podcast. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And
Kate, you're the greatest.
I had a great time.